Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive. With Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. This is, in fact, the last week that our show is going to be shortened in any way by the Kansas City Royals. We are off today at 5:30, so we largely have a full show, and there's certainly a lot to get into. Coming up in about in an hour and a half, we are going to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Today is his 30th birthday. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk about him coming up in just a little bit. We got a lot to get into. The Eagles are responding to a lot of the controversy surrounding the tush push. We'll get to that. Travis Kelce commented on his dropped touchdown from Sunday on his podcast. We'll play that audio for you in case you missed it. We got a lot of things to get into in today's show. Before we move on, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you to listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? If you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it if you could do that. And number three, and this might be the most important, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. If you're looking for some great pizza, some great drink specials, and looking for a place to watch the game, maybe a little Sunday night football, then there is no better place to stop at than with our friends over at The Other Place. As I was getting ready for the show today, something hit me. I believe that you could make the argument, and I don't really think that it would be that much of a stretch, that you could argue from the ages 20 until 30, Patrick Mahomes has been the most successful football player in the history of the game. You guys know that I'm really big on when you go on Wikipedia and you look over at the awards and highlights. I'm big on what did you accomplish? What did you do in your NFL career? We can even incorporate the success that individual players have had at the college level. If you are willing to add up everything that that player has accomplished from the moment they turn 20 until the day that they turn 30 years old, I think you would be really hard-pressed to find a player who has had this level of success. We are talking about 3 Super Bowl championships, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. He has won NFL MVP multiple times. You can argue that his 2018 season is probably one of the top 10 quarterback seasons, maybe in the history of the National Football League. He won Offensive Player of the Year. He's been a 2-time All-Pro. One time he's been on the second team. He's made the Pro Bowl every year since he's been in the NFL. He's led the NFL in passing yards. He's led the NFL in touchdown yards, Sportsman of the Year. You can add all of those things up. I do not know if you could find a football player who has done more and accomplished more in their 20s than Patrick Mahomes. Now, the question for Patrick is, as somebody who is clearly motivated by history, who is clearly motivated by the pursuit, do you have the chance of being the greatest of all time? Now, you guys have heard me say this in years past. I'll say it again since we're having the conversation of what Mahomes' legacy is. I think it's going to be really, really difficult for Pat to sit at number one on the throne. It kind of reminds me of the very senseless arguments that people have about LeBron James and Michael Jordan. And somehow we have made it like if you think LeBron's the second best basketball player of all time, that somehow that is an indictment on his career and how good of a basketball player that you think he is. Well, no, of course it's not. He's just not Michael Jordan. And maybe you think that he is better than Michael Jordan from a basketball perspective, but from a resume perspective, there is some holes in his resume that Mike doesn't have. I kind of think that's going to be the same case with Mahomes if you are comparing him to Tom Brady. Tom Brady has beaten Patrick Mahomes two times in the playoffs. Once in the AFC Championship game, another time in the Super Bowl. One of those games in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs got blown out. Now, sure, we know the context, but that's not how history remembers things. History doesn't remember the context of things. When you go back and watch NFL films, they don't go into great detail about this player was missing and this player was missing. No, it's a very simple team A won, team B lost. The Chiefs got dominated in that Super Bowl. They then got dominated in another Super Bowl. Tom doesn't have that on his resume. He's got some other things on his resume, but he doesn't have that on his resume. So I think just from a very simple, if you are now looking ahead and what the next 10, maybe 12 years of Patrick Mahomes' career looks like, I think it is a little bit of an uphill battle if the goal is to sit at number one. If the goal is to be considered the greatest quarterback of all time, I think that's going to be a difficult task. I also think, and this is partly of what has made Brady so successful and why we consider Brady to be number one, Tom has had basically three Hall of Fame careers rolled up into one person. The same way that Kobe at number 8 is a Hall of Famer and Kobe at 24 is a Hall of Famer, Tom Brady in his 20s was a Hall of Famer, Tom Brady in his 30s is a Hall of Famer. If you just took age 40, Tom Brady, that player is a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I looked this up today because I was curious. What did Tom Brady do from ages 30 to 40? Because that is now the category that Patrick Mahomes is moving into, now turning 30 years old today. What did 30 to 40 look like for Tom Brady? They won three Super Bowls. He won two MVPs. He won two Super Bowl MVPs. They went to five Super Bowls during ages 30 to 40. They won the AFC five times during that stretch. And he also won Comeback Player of the Year. You remember that was the year in which he blew out his ACL, came back the next season and was still Tom Brady. They gave him the Comeback Player of the Year. And oh yeah, during that stretch, he also was the quarterback of the team that I would consider the best football team that we've ever seen. Now, they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, but the 2007 Patriots are the best football team that we have ever seen. They went undefeated in the regular season. They have the highest point differential of any team in NFL history. That team was pretty good. So that is now the conversation that we are talking about. The 20s are over for Patrick Mahomes, and it was a dynamic 20s. Again, I don't think that there has been a football player who has accomplished more from ages 20 to 30 than we're talking about with Patrick Mahomes. But that page has now turned. Now it is, how do you continue to keep up an unrealistic pace for the next decade? And as the roster is starting to turn over and change, how do you continue to grow with that roster? How do you keep that same level of success? Because we saw Tom do it with a bunch of different people. I saw him do it with Wes Welker. I saw him do it with Randy Moss. I saw him do it with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. I saw him do it with Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola and Corey Dillon and James White. We know the names. We saw those Patriots teams. That is now the category that Patrick Mahomes is in. You've done it with Travis Kelce. You've done it with Tyreek Hill. You did it with one version of Juju Smith-Schuster. You've done it with Mecole Hardman. Can you continue to keep that pace over the next decade, over the next decade plus? That is going to be the pathway to you being the greatest quarterback of all time. So really happy to talk to Patrick about this coming up in a little bit. Really happy to talk to him about his birthday as he turns 30 years old today. We're going to go back and highlight a lot of the memories that he has built up over his 20s and being the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Really excited to be here with you guys today on The Drive. We're going to take a break here. We're going to step aside. Joshua Briscoe is going to join us up in a bit. We'll get his take on Patrick Mahomes turning 30s, and we'll take a trip down memory lane as we celebrate the career of Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Tune in on game day to hear him 3 hours before kickoff and immediately following the final whistle. Here's the new pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Kansas City wins the game!
Joshua Briscoe.
I want to read a tweet to you guys. I also want to read a text to you guys before we're joined by Joshua Briscoe. Jim Harbaugh confirms that Khalil Mack is going to go on the injured reserve list due to an elbow injury. It doesn't sound like it is going to be a season-ending injury. It just sounds like he is going to be on the shelf for a little bit. So Khalil Mack is, at a minimum, going to miss the next month of action for the Chargers. He has been a very productive player. He's maybe not the guy that he was back in the Bears days or the Raiders days, but he's still one of the better pass rushers in the National Football League. So we were talking about Patrick Mahomes, who I think you can make the argument had maybe the best 20s of any player in the history of the National Football League. Now the question is, can he do it into his 30s? Brady continued to do it into his 30s and his 40s, and that's why Brady is largely considered the greatest quarterback of all time. Someone texted in, C-Dot, I believe you're correct. When it comes to resume and accomplishments, Tom is likely always going to be number one. That's fine. I'll concede that. But what I'll contend with that is with Patrick, along with his accomplishments plus his skill sets, he's already past Tom's, and I feel like that's subjective. That's the part that I will never disagree with when it comes to anybody. I can't disagree with you if you think that Adele is the greatest singer that you've ever heard. It's your subjective opinion. I can't agree with you if you or disagree if you think that LeBron James is the greatest basketball player that you have ever seen. If you've come to the conclusion that Mahomes is the greatest quarterback you've ever seen, that is a very, very fair stance. I'm simply going off what I think the consensus is going to be and how people are going to feel. And outside of Kansas City, I don't think anybody has Patrick number one on their list. Now, I think he is in most people's top five. At this point, I honestly think you can make an argument that he is number two. I don't think you can make an argument that he's lower behind number three. If you're going to argue that he's still behind Joe Montana, that's fine. But I would say in some order, it's Patrick Mahomes, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes, and that's the list. And we have now entered the second half of Patrick Mahomes' career, and it can now be definitive he is ahead of Joe Montana. But that's it now at this point. I call it the YouTube test. 15 years from now, when you show your kid Steph Curry, your kid's going to be able to instantly get it. If you tell your kid 15 years from now, hey, Mahomes is the best quarterback that I've ever seen, let me pull up a 15-second highlight montage, I don't think your kid is going to be confused on why you feel that way. Like, it is going to jump off the screen in a very different way than Tom Brady is. Tom's going to be one of those players you just had to be there for. And we usually judge the greatness of quarterbacks by, it's 2 minutes left in the game, down four, you got to take your team down the field. As great as Pat has been, there has been no quarterback in the history of the NFL in those situations than number 12 was for the New England Patriots. Let's head to the phone lines right now to get Briscoe's thoughts on this as we are celebrating the 30th birthday of Patrick Mahomes. He's going to join us coming up in about an hour or so. Briscoe, how you doing today, my man?
Good. I turned 30 about 9 months ago, so my back has just kind of hurt for most of these last 9 months. So I feel pretty qualified to talk about this next stage in Mahomes' career. A lot of lower back pain for no particular reason, in my experience, as a slightly worse athlete than Patrick Mahomes.
So let's get to this. I always like hearing people's story or recollection of this. The moment when I realized that Pat was special was the touchdown pass against Chris Conley in the San Francisco game.
This is mine.
Or I think you could argue the very next week on Monday Night Football when he makes the left-handed throw against the Broncos. Like, the Chiefs were not playing well. They were down Sammy Watkins. All of these things were happening, and Pat basically said, we're not going to lose the game. So it's interesting that your point is kind of the same of mine as when you realize, now, I didn't know we were going to be talking about 7 years later. He'd already be considered one of the three greatest quarterbacks of all time. But I think you knew pretty early on, like in the first four or five starts from Mahomes, you were watching something truly special.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I think you could actually make a very intellectually honest for week two of that season against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where you have a guy who comes out and throws six touchdowns in his, I guess, third career start, but the second game of that season, and that was like, that was amazing, and that was we have the guy, but the guy, like, Josh Simmons is the guy, I think, right now at left tackle. It doesn't mean he's going to be the greatest left tackle of all time. For me, that Niners game is specific, and funnily enough, it's the last Chiefs game I attended in person because I wasn't doing any post-game stuff at that point. And so I remember being in the press box of Chiefs Niners and watching that play, and I remember the sound that Therese Paylor made in the press box as everyone was just kind of looking around like, what are we witnessing here? Like, not only can this dude do it, there is a uniqueness to his game. So yes, that touchdown to Chris Conley for me, if I only get to have one of those highlights that was such a out-of-body experience, that's the one for me that it just seemed like we had seen the future and it was bright.
I would say that Patrick Mahomes is a lot like Michael Jordan in this context, that Jordan just has so many iconic moments and memories that you kind of associate with his greatness. Whether it's the dunk contest in 88 where he does the free throw line dunk, whether it's the layup against the Los Angeles Lakers, whether it's the shot over Elo, the last shot against the Utah Jazz. Like, these are such iconic sports moments that you remember them. I think Pat, in a very short period of time, he kind of has his own greatest hits that you can point to, like 6 to 8 of those all-time iconic moments in his career.
Yeah, and that's the benefit of playing in all of those big games. And it's also, I mean, the only arguments against Mahomes, and these aren't good arguments, but the only ones that people even can levy against him are the Bucs Super Bowl, where he was really good and nobody else around him was, and the Eagles Super Bowl, where he wasn't very good either, and then the AFC Championship loss to the Bengals. Like, those are the only arguments that anyone has to kind of ding his legacy, and you may notice that they've all come in the Super Bowl or AFC Championship game. Even losing to Brady that first year, I don't really necessarily think was a knock on him. It was his first season leading a football team. So all of that, I think, is such a, I think it's a very good note. I think it's all intertwined together. And kind of going back to what you were talking about at the beginning of the segment, it to me is what has made it so easy to put Patrick Mahomes on a level above Aaron Rodgers, who for a long time, you know, in that whole conversation you were just having, Tom Brady, to your point, was the, like, you know, you never count out a touchdown, Tom. You got 2 minutes. Your team's up six, but your defense is on the field a minute and 55 seconds, and Tom Brady is at the 20. You go, okay, well, I'm afraid I know how this ends, even though it shouldn't end that way. Like, he was the Terminator just catching up to you. Aaron Rodgers had the most amazing highlights of my, like, childhood of football watching, where you go, oh man, this guy's gonna go on and he's gonna win 3, 4, 5 rings. If he can do that, this is a guy who is somewhat changing the way football is played, the quarterback position is played. But Rodgers wasn't able to have enough of those moments and not enough winning. I don't want to live in a world where we purely evaluate players based on championships, because it's a team sport. You have 30 guys every week who are deciding if you do or don't win that game, plus the 30 who are in the mix on the other side. So I don't ever want to just do rings talk, but I think that those iconic moments are so important, because that's what a legacy is built out of. How did he make you feel when you watched him play? What stages were these moments being had on? And for Mahomes, he's just lived on the biggest stages in the sport.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. He is the pre- and post-game host for the Kansas City Chiefs radio network. Right now, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to the Chiefs being 0-2 in just a bit, but I kind of just want to take a trip down memory lane, at least when talking about Patrick Mahomes. He's one of the very few athletes that I don't think has that many yeah buts. Like, for example, Kevin Durant is an incredible basketball player, one of the best basketball players that we've ever seen. Like, he has a pretty big yeah but. Well, you joined a team that won 71 games. Like, it doesn't count. You know what I mean? Like, Pat's career, he's never really kind of faced that. And if you were telling me your yeah but, well, you guys lost in the Super Bowl, that's just not really that big of a deal to me. His team has always been in contention. They've always had a chance to either go to, play for, or win the Super Bowl. And it's been that way from day one as a starter. Like, he is the very unique intersection of obviously tremendous talent, but you just alluded to Aaron Rodgers. Like, Rodgers might be the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. He's only made one Super Bowl, and he has come up really small in a lot of big moments in his career.
Even thinking about the offseason, I think the yeah but that a few people have thrown out there is something that feels very, very funny here today, down 0-2, where he goes, yeah, but he was drafted by a playoff team that already had Andy Reid and already had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and those things were true, and go ahead and tell me what any of those guys won without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that to me is a very easy one to kind of just brush away, where Andy Reid was the quintessential great head coach without the final accolade, where Alex Smith was incredibly important for leveling this organization back out when Andy Reid got here. But everything changed with Mahomes. And again, I think it's very funny to consider that the strongest argument against your career is you having one bad game in one of your two Super Bowl losses. Like, where we all remember, and this is, again, this is also kind of just the price of being great. It's the price of being on in those biggest moments. I remember being a kid and rooting my heart out for the New York Giants, because I was just sick of the Patriots. I was tired of Tom Brady. I wasn't in a place to appreciate greatness. By that point, I wanted to see somebody else win, and I was glad when they did. You're seeing now, even this week, with people talking about the tush push, people are getting tired of the Eagles, and so that starts getting levied against you. But I think you're right. When you get down to the meat of it, there is no argument against what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished to this point. It is the best stretch of football in your 20s that any quarterback has ever had, and it's on a trajectory like we've never seen. Will his 30s be as productive as his 20s? Remains to be seen. But to this point, yeah, it is truly, truly inarguable.
Well, let's move to the tush push, because I'm curious to get your thoughts. Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. All summer, I was pro tush push. If I was an owner, I would have voted for it. I thought that most of the arguments kind of stem from the fact that Philadelphia was better at it than everybody else. And, well, we can't stop it, so we might as well outlaw the play. I think this was the first week that the conversation shifted to, well, they do some things that are illegal, and this play just is not officiated properly. I'm sure by now you've seen the overhead view of it. The Eagles are not lined up correctly. We saw multiple false starts happen during the play. I am all for Philadelphia running a unique version of a quarterback sneak, but it still has to follow all of the other rules, and this play just doesn't follow that.
Right, and there were a couple of quieter moments last year where I remember people kind of taking a closer look at how they were getting aligned. Nothing quite as egregious as I remember the jumps from the guards that we saw in at least two instances on Sunday, but I think it's hilarious, or at least it's funny and interesting how it comes together, where, yeah, that was a thing that was happening a little bit last year, but they hadn't won a Super Bowl with it, right? Like, not, and that was not the reason they won the Super Bowl. Let me be extraordinarily clear there. I don't buy the, like, Adam Schefter thing of this game was won in March. No, it wasn't. This game was won on Sunday by the Eagles, and that's understandable. But I think you are now at a point where the NFL, if they, you have two options here, and I think either way functionally ends the tush push as what we know it to be, where you either start enforcing the rules correctly, which doesn't seem like that high of a standard to hold the referees to, but they've said it's very hard. So I would say either enforce the rules and enforce the alignment, and maybe that ends up making the Eagles not so good at it, and they have to go to a more standard quarterback sneak that's not as effective, which, like Jason Kelsey said, they could run good quarterback sneaks. I'm sure they could. They have all of the structure for that to still be better at that than any other team in football. But if you do have a false start, if you do have an alignment penalty, now all of a sudden that automatic third and one is now third and six. Or that fourth down conversion is turning into a punt or a field goal further away from the conversion. So I really do think that makes a lot of sense. The NFL's other argument, I think, this offseason is going to be, hey, we tried it again, and our refs just couldn't referee this play. There are too many bodies and too tight of a spot. You can't see all the alignments. We just can't have this play in the league because the referees don't know how to officiate or can't officiate it that way in real time. I think either way, those are good arguments, though. You cannot have a play that is so spammable be something that could reasonably have a penalty called almost every single time. You can't have that be within the sport. So if they still dominate short yardage and they still dominate short yardage quarterback sneaks, that's fine. That's not even about the pushing of Jalen Hurts. It's just being lined up as the rules dictate, which would give the defense an actual fighting chance in this play that's almost, not quite, but almost unstoppable over these last few years.
I think that most people are at the same place that I'm at. I'm obviously not happy with the way that the Chiefs have played through the first 2 weeks of the season, but you lost to a playoff team from last year that has a good coach and a good quarterback. You also lost to a team that has won 18 of their last 19 games. There's only so mad I can be, especially when you are not operating at full capacity. It's one thing to lose to those teams. It's another thing to lose to the New York Giants that we haven't really gone very deep into the 0-2 stats. I'm not really sure how much they applied to the Kansas City Chiefs. We will dive very deep into these stats if they lose on Sunday Night Football to the New York Giants. Being 0-2 and 0-3 are two drastically different things. And yes, there will be an optimism about them with championship DNA. And yes, they're getting Rashee Rice back and all of those things. But there's just not a lot of gimmies on the Chiefs' schedule. And on the road against the Giants this season is as close to those that Kansas City has this season.
Yeah, it. I don't ever remember thinking like, oh no, this is a must-win game in week three. But I think it essentially is. And kind of through that scope, if this was the Ravens game in week three and they had the Giants in week four, if you just flip those, I'd tell you, no, there's a real chance the Chiefs start 0-3 and I would not be out on the season because I'm paying attention to who they lost to. And I think there are a lot of gaps in the armor at this point. There are a lot of things offensively that feel a little stale that I do think you can be reasonably worried about, and I remain a little bit worried about the defensive pass rush, the four-man rush in particular. I do still think that's going to be a problem throughout the season. But, like you said, you lose to a good team in week one with a terrible defensive performance. You lose to a very good team in week two with a much better defensive performance. I wasn't expecting that. I was not expecting 20 points from the Eagles. I thought what we saw in week one, the miscommunication in the secondary and all of that, I was afraid that would take longer to patch up. And Spags and the rest of that unit did a very good job getting that turned around in 1 week. You cannot go lose this game to Russell Wilson's Giants. You just can't do it. If you lose this game, you're 0-3 looking at the Ravens. And then the Jags game is suddenly like the most must win of your season. And then it's the Lions. And then it's the Raiders. And now we're talking about Rashee Rice going into Commanders and Bills the 2 weeks after. So the back half of the schedule is thin enough, is light enough that I do think they could end up being, frankly, like, under 500. They could be 4-5 past the midseason point, and that's not where you want to be, obviously. But I would not be betting against their playoff spot. I'm not even sure if I'd be betting against their AFC West streak, depending on how the rest of the division's playing by that point. But you cannot lose to the Giants on Sunday night. I know it's dangerous. I know it's weird to call a game in on September 21st, to call it a must-win game against an NFC team on the road in prime time. But they really, really need this one. They can build up from 1-2. Building up from 0-3, even with the promise of Rashee Rice around the corner, just feels so steep.
Today is day one that the public can attend 1587. How do you get your steak cooked? What are your favorite steak sides?
Great question. I'm a medium rare guy, I think, for the most part, if I can get it cooked extremely properly. And I don't need it to be bleeding, but I don't mind if it's kind of on that rare side. I don't need it any more cooked than that. So I go medium rare on a steak. I love almost all forms of potatoes. Mashed potatoes, twice-baked potatoes, even a little scalloped potato in there's good stuff. So I'm going pretty starchy and pretty carby. If you want to bring me out a Caesar salad before the steak gets there, I'll feel good about myself. That's probably the ideal. Little Caesar salad pregame warm-up, medium rare steak with the best potato side that they have at the steakhouse, and I'm a happy camper.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. He is the Chiefs pre- and post-game host. This week, I actually will be on the Chiefs pregame show if you want to tune in, getting ready for Sunday Night Football. Josh, I appreciate you, my man.
Hey, thanks. Are you getting our reservation for 1587, or was I supposed to do that?
You got it.
Okay, all right, I'll make some calls.
Absolutely.
Ask Pat! Ask Pat in an hour!
I asked him last week. He laughed at me. That is Joshua Briscoe joining us on the show. I mean, I'd love to go to 1587. Rob, you and I were not invited.
I mean, I was never even a hint of an invite. You were an actual
I thought
miss.
I had an outside yeah. chance. Yeah, I thought I had an outside chance. I'm really hurt by that. It's really affected me and Pat's relationship. I don't know how we can move forward with this. I don't know how we can move forward. I'm looking at all these other people. I'm thinking, then you start really playing the game. I'm more deserving of him. It starts to really creep in your mind. Maybe we're not as close as I thought we were. But no, we're happy to have Patrick Mahomes join us coming up in just a bit. We are celebrating the 30th birthday for Patrick Mahomes. I want to play this audio for you. We're going to go through some of the greatest hits. I imagine this is the same point that many of you also came to this conclusion. Grew up in Kansas City my whole life. Them winning a playoff game for the most part was something that I never really considered. Them going to the Super Bowl, absolutely not. The Chiefs aren't a Super Bowl team. This was the moment that I realized that the Chiefs were going to go to a Super Bowl.
Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
That call was from the Chiefs radio network. I mentioned this to Briscoe, that Pat, in a very short period of time, he has really put together a Jordan-like resume of plays, that Michael Jordan has these very iconic plays and moments that people talk about and people discuss. When Michael Jordan passes, you and I both know what plays they are going to show in his highlight montage. Kobe Bryant, you know the plays that you are going to see in Kobe Bryant's career. It's that behind-the-back dunk that he does against the Denver Nuggets. It's that dunk he has on the baseline in the playoffs against the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's the fourth quarter for the Olympics back in 2008. Like, there are certain iconic moments and memories that Kobe Bryant had. Michael Jordan, the same thing for every great athlete. Pat is putting together that kind of resume. And when Pat is done playing football, whenever that could possibly be, if you told me that that was the greatest play of Patrick Mahomes' career, I don't think I could tell you that you were wrong. Now, he has maybe had more important plays, and he's done great plays in the Super Bowl, but that was one of those plays where you remember Chiefs got down early in that AFC Championship game. They then battle back. For them to have the lead going into halftime, and because of that run from Mahomes, where he's supposed to go out of bounds, he cuts back in, he runs over people, he gets up and does the flex. At least for me, that's when I realized, yeah, Tennessee's not winning this game. The Chiefs are going on to the Super Bowl. They then put the cherry on the top with the deep pass down the middle of the field to Sammy Watkins. But that was kind of one of those moments where, yeah, we're talking about not just a good quarterback, not just a great quarterback. We were talking about an all-time quarterback. It was one of those kind of plays.
I was actually at that game with some friends, and I remember that we had seats in the upper tank, and that play happened opposite sideline we were sitting on. And I remember the roar in the crowd when people realized he had not stepped out of bounds. And I believe that touchdown either tied the game or took the lead, or it was still a competitive football game at that point. It wasn't like that touchdown made it 24-0 Chiefs. Like, it was still a back-and-forth game in the first half. But I had a very similar thought to you and a very similar thought that Briscoe had. I'm looking at my friends being like, if Patrick Mahomes is going to do that, they are not losing today. They are not going to fall short. If Patrick Mahomes is going to run for 20 yards, tiptoe on the sideline, risk getting a big hit, not go out of bounds, the whole thing, they are not losing today. The second half will be a party. And the party didn't start until the third quarter, and the Chiefs eventually did kind of pull away from the Titans. But I feel like everyone in the stadium had that exact same feeling of, oh, he's done that, they're not losing to that Titans team. Derrick Henry and co. are not beating him if he's going to do that sort of thing throughout the game.
Rob, are you aware of this? Someone on the text line says, hey guys, are you going to sing or play Happy Birthday, Patrick, by one Cody Tapp? I am unaware of this song. So there is a new Cody Tapp record?
It's not new. It's a Cody
Tapp. It's an old song. Can you pull this up? Because I don't think I'm aware of this song. I would like to hear this song. Now that we have moved past our beef that we had last week, you know, we had a little fun rivalry back and forth between Missouri and Kansas. And quite honestly, what I said was going to happen in the game happened in the game. But it's okay. We don't have to go back into that. I don't want to bring up any harmful memories for you guys.
Do you want a quick flavor of it before I find the whole thing? Because I have a
little. Yeah, go ahead. Give me a little sauce.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Oh, I remember this song.
Enjoy your birthday, Patrick.
I remember this song. I couldn't remember the way it went. He's had so many songs, I couldn't remember. Why is he singing it like that? Play it again for me.
Happy birthday, Patrick. Enjoy your birthday, Patrick. Eat some cake, Patrick.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. That's very funny. No, I forgot about that. I really did. I forgot about that clip. Coming up on the other side, I want to play for you guys what Jason Kelce had to say on New Heights and also Travis Kelce. We'll get to that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to play for you guys what Jason Kelce had to say. I want to play for you guys what Travis Kelce had to say on their podcast. There has been a lot of conversation surrounding both of these individuals. I guess Jason in a different way because of the tush push. He was the center when the tush push was created, so he obviously has very strong comments. I would say that the only reason that the tush push is still around is because of the respect that Jason Kelce has within the NFL, and he made a very passionate argument to keep the tush push. They were rounding up the votes to get rid of it. They only finished two votes short, and I think that Kelce's argument is a reason why we still have the play today. So there might not be a better person to speak on it than Jason Kelce. Here was his comments on the New Heights podcast.
And they're going to be under a microscope moving forward. Everybody is going to be looking at this because of what happened, not just against you guys, but this first week too. Everybody's taking pictures of it. They're saying they're in the neutral zone. They're saying they're false starting because they slow it down to like a thousand frames per second.
Yeah.
So they need to be very, very cautious because the calls are going to be starting to come, and they should be. Like once it's out there and there's video evidence, rightfully so, the officials are going to be.
That's what happens. Yeah. For those of you that don't understand how the NFL and these kind of plays work, whether it's, you know, a guy that tugs in routes, a guy that or wide receiver that uses his hands and uses his arms as levers.
Yeah.
If guys are doing something that's playing that line of legal or illegal on the field, it's like,
yes,
those tapes get sent in to the NFL to review.
The official is 70 feet away on the sideline, and he's trying to look down a line and gauge sometimes inches, right? And see who's in the neutral zone, who's getting it off. It's a very tough play for him. I do not relish the difficulty of that. And yeah, then once you go on and you start putting this out on tape, like I guarantee the team that the Eagles are playing this week, they're throwing in all of these clips to the NFL.
This is where I would disagree with the Kelce brothers in this regard. I think we have enough evidence to suggest things get heightened to a different magnitude when they happen in primetime solo windows. This was the most watched non-Thanksgiving regular season game in Fox history. They got 33 million people to watch Chiefs and Eagles. So a play that obviously is synonymous with their team, when you run it seven times and everybody is watching it, I think that is what has created a lot of the conversation that we're talking about. The Eagles don't have a nationally televised game the next couple of weeks. They play at noon each of the next 3 weeks. They play the Rams, the Bucks, and the Broncos. So they're just not going to have that solo window to it. If the Eagles were playing on Monday Night Football, I think this would be a really, really big topic. But because they play kind of hidden in a certain way, and everybody is off kind of watching and doing their own thing, I just don't know if this is going to be a thing again until they're in a primetime spot. So, for example, the Eagles play the Packers on Monday Night Football. That looks like that could be the two best teams in the NFC going up against each other. That's when I think we have another tush-push conversation, because that's going to be a game that we're all tuned into. Those are right now the two best teams in the National Football League. So I actually think that some of this tush-push conversation is going to die off for the next couple of weeks, just because I don't think the Eagles playing enough prominent games to kind of have that be the conversation. So that was the older brother. That was big brother. Let's hear what little brother Travis Kelce had to say. You guys know he dropped that pass as he was heading into the end zone. It caused a turnover. That was the one turnover in the game. Was a massive swing for the Eagles to force that turnover. Here's what Travis Kelce had to say.
Got to catch the ball. Got to catch the ball, and we give ourselves a chance.
You brought up the drop pass up front, so I think maybe we go straight to that. Pat Mahomes, after the game, of course, like everybody else, is going to put it on him. He said, you know, to throw a tad early.
The ball was where it needed to be, when it needed to be there. I just got to get my head around out of the break, and I shot you that text telling you that. It's one of those plays where it happens bang, bang, and I know that that's the window that it needs to be in. I know it's coming out of armpits and ear holes of the offense and defensive line getting their hands up. And I just got to be able to get my head around right now so that I don't put myself in a position to let the ball surprise me like that.
Gotcha.
It's frustrating, man. I've scored on that play a million times in my life and obviously exaggerated, but it's something that should have never happened. And then it costs us big time and that hurts, but we'll get it fixed.
That was Travis Kelce on the New Heights podcast. I thought he explained that very, very well. I don't really know if you could have much of an issue with the way that he explained it. I mean, he's right in this. I mean, Pat's going to blame himself. Travis is going to blame himself. They're not going to throw either teammate under the bus. That is just how these guys operate. That's how you should operate in a team sport. I need to be better. This other person feels like they need to be better. No hard feelings. Let's work together to try to fix this issue. So I don't have any issues with how he answered that question. I think that was the perfect way of answering the question. I think he explained what happened on the play. And obviously that's unacceptable. It's really difficult. It's hard enough to win football games. It's even harder when you lose the turnover differential because of a play that you didn't make in the game. I think the Chiefs win if they complete that pass. I think the Chiefs are able to steal a game from the Philadelphia Eagles, and we are just having a very, very different conversation at 1-1, especially with how banged up they are. Also in the face of, I think Xavier Worthy is going to play this weekend. I also think that Jalen Royals is going to play. So it seems like they got reinforcements. It feels like help is on the way when discussing this team. That's a massive, massive swing. That has been, Travis Kelce has been at the center of the two biggest plays this season for the Chiefs. Whether it is Xavier Worthy being injured, so we had to miss the game against the Eagles, and then the drop at the goal line, the two biggest plays, one of your star players has been at the center of both of those plays. Going back to the tush push here, I want to play for you guys what the left tackle of the Eagles had to say. This is Jordan Mailata. He might be the second best left tackle in the NFL behind Trent Williams. Here is he in WIP in Philadelphia. Here is he defending the tush push.
I understand the outrage. What I don't understand is them using it as an excuse to why we won the game.
Right.
I think it's incredibly disrespectful to our defense and our special teams who balled out. You know, my brother's on defense and special teams who balled out that game, who had our backs when we weren't moving the ball or we weren't doing anything. You know, and so when I see those things and they fly across my timeline here and there, and I do my best to stay off social media, but That kind of irks me a little bit. That pisses me off because we give so much to this game and to kind of base off a short yardage play that is a football play.
Yeah.
And say that we won the game off that, but not how our defense played, not how our special teams have played, putting us in those positions. You know, I think it's bull crap. Part of my French. Hey, let me press this dump button.
No, that's fine.
I was going to say a lot of other stuff, but you know, I just think it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish, man. It makes my blood boil just thinking about it.
I'm on Jordan Mailata's side from this perspective. I think it is extremely unfair to say that they win because of the tush push. I think it's unfair, especially when they are not the only team that is allowed to run this play. They're not the only team that runs this play. Sure, I think the play should be officiated differently. My issue is not that the offense pushes the offensive player forward. That's not my issue with the play. I think the Eagles are lined up incorrectly. I think you see multiple times that players on their offensive line move early. So just officiate it like all the other plays. When players on the offensive line move early, you just simply call a false start. So now you take a play that's a 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, and you turn it into a 4th-and-6, 3rd-and-6, which changes the math of the game. So I'm on his side where hey, trying to reduce us to, well, we only win because we run this play, takes away from all the other things that we do well. And they do a lot of things really, really well. But this play has become a lightning rod. It's become the issue of week two of the National Football League, so they got to defend it. They also just, they run it better than everybody else. So I do think officials are going to look at it more closely. It's just been too much of a talking point. But I think you heard Dean Blandino say this during the game on Sunday. I don't know how you officiate this play correctly because of how unique that it is. It's not a true football play. It is a rugby play that you have integrated into football, but it is not a traditional football play. So to Mitch Holtis's point when he was on the show, do you change the way that the officials line up? Do you get them closer to the line of scrimmage so they can see some of these things? Like, you have to officiate this play in such a different and unique way because of the formation and how the play operates that that's the largest reason why I think at the end of the season they're just going to say, we can't do this anymore. We're throwing our hands up, so we're just going to make it where nobody can run this play. I clearly think that's where we are headed in the National Football League. Coming up in this next segment, you will hear from the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He joins us every Wednesday now to recap the week and also look ahead to Sunday Night Football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.